Welcome to the Aquarimax audio show with Russ and Kelly. We provide information on all kinds of aquarium-related topics.
This is episode 255, recorded June 22nd, 2015.
Greetings, Aquarimaxers.
Hello, once again.
Reporting to you from our new place.
Again.
Yeah. I guess this is the second time that we're reporting from our new place.
It's more put together this week, though.
Yeah, a little bit at a time.
A little bit at a time.
Putting together the critter room with... There are two aquariums in there. We got one aquarium out here. Is that two in there and one in here?
One in here.
And then one in the kitchen.
Yeah, Hiro's in the kitchen.
Yep. Let's see. Oh, I gotta tell him.
The bad news
before we get to the good news, which is that we have contributors with things to say. And that's always welcome. But we had a bad news. My Daphnia / Scud culture has half crashed. In other words, the Daphnia are nowhere to be seen.
Which is very sad, because that was a really good strain of Daphnia.
I had that strain of Daphnia for a long time, years and years and years, and it survived all kinds of things. Apparently not this move, and I don't understand why. I had air on the culture almost the whole time. There was a very short period of time during which there was not air, but, you know, almost the whole time. And... I don't know, all the scuds are fine. The Daphnia crashed. Unfortunately, as some Aquarimaxers can attest, we've tried to get the resting eggs of this species to hatch, but they don't seem to be able to do it. So
we're out of Daphnia.
I'm not entirely giving up hope that I won't get some back, because I've seen things like that happen before. But usually by this time, if they're going to bounce back, they bounce back. Because I have had a couple occasions where they get a little low, but I've never had an occasion where I couldn't find one with this particular strain and then get them back. So, you know, I don't even know how many years it's been, but it's been a long time since I've had those Daphnia. Yeah, I guess I could probably look back at podcasts. I might figure it out. But anyway, they've been so good.
Did you get that strain in the house 2 houses ago? The Willow House?
Yeah, it was the Willow House. So yeah, it's been several years. And I had it there for a long time before we moved, too.
Yeah.
So. And so... It's been a while, but...
potentially 6 years.
Yeah, it's probably close to that. It's probably not quite 6 years. Maybe 5 years. I don't know. But anyway, I know the guy. I could probably get some back from him eventually. I can get down there. But sad. Very sad. So... So anyway, we were talking about Daphnia, right?
Yes, Daphnia.
And how they're gone, and I haven't completely given up hope, because sometimes you can revive a colony, but with this particular strain... It's hard to revive them from the resting eggs, so I don't have a lot of hope. But where there's life, there's hope.
Yes.
And there are lots of scuds in there, so at least it's not a total loss.
Something's alive.
Yep, scuds are still good live food. All right, well, let's talk about our contributors for the week. Who have we got?
All right, we have Greg in Warrington, Oregon, and we have JR in Eastern Kentucky.
All right.
So
let's start with Greg.
Okay. And he has a bit of information from Mike, also from Oregon, who had been wondering about glass versus acrylic tanks. And he says, there are some videos on YouTube about glass versus acrylic tanks. Mostly it comes down to preference and scratches.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. He says, for the guy from Malaysia, many beta companions also have a...
Oh, competition. I think it was just when a product autocorrect.
Autocorrect, okay. Yeah. Beta companions. Well, what's a beta companion? Okay. Many beta competitions also have an amateur competition, like first-time breeder awards and such. And cull I didn't, and had so many I was unable to place till I moved.
Yeah.
Oh, he had so many that he was unable to place. Okay, sorry. Sometimes when people send him in on phones and such, it's a little hard to parse. He had 3 years of feeding 80 betas every other day, which was fun, but very time-consuming, especially water changes.
So now he wanted to get that said, and now he's gonna...
Now he says, it's Greg that used to be in Jamestown.
Yeah.
He moved. Okay, yeah. See, I don't ever get to read these beforehand, so this is all new to me every time.
Because it's funnier when you don't read it
I know, because I say weird, bizarre things, because... I don't have enough filters on my mouth.
In fairness, though, I have offered to send them to her, and she says no, because it works better when I...
It does. Well, because I have questions about it usually when I read it the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And but if then I already know the answers, and then I don't remember what my questions were to go over on the podcast. Because I figure if I have a question about it, then maybe somebody else does too, or maybe I'm just a complete doofus and nobody else has the same
question.
No,
it works well when you do it that way, and that's why we do it that way.
Okay. So he says, "Hello, Greg, formerly from Jamestown, California, now from Warrington, Oregon. So I moved from a place known for TV and movies like Little House on the Prairie, Petticoat Junction, at least the water tower in the intro, and parts of Back to the Future 3, to the area where Goonies, parts of Short Circuit, and I'm writing this at the same motel that Arnold...
Governator.
Was shown at in the movie Kindergarten Cop. Oh, those are funny movies, all of those. Mm. All these are in Astoria, Oregon. I'm just across the bay at the next town, about 5 miles. Side note, I remember being in, like, I don't know, 7th grade or something, and people talking about them filming parts of Back to the Future 3 down there near our location, near our house. It was kind of cool. He says, "Well, unfortunately, I was unable to bring most of my tanks and none of my fish, though I did bring 3 tanks, but I can't set them up for a bit. Worse, for me personally, I was unable to bring any of my cats." Oh, that's very sad.
Yeah.
That is very sad. "But I do have a good job, and after 3 weeks in hotels and motels, I'll be in an apartment by the time this comes out."
Huh, good.
3 weeks in hotels is kind of depressing.
That can be stressful, but at least it's over by now.
Yeah. "While shutting down my fish room, I was able to get 3 people into the hobby. One was just a planted shrimp tank, one just took an empty planted tank ready for fish, and one took 2 25-gallon tanks planted with fish. I went to a local pet Facebook site and gave the rest away to people in the area. Only about 50 plants and 9 fish went to the local pet store. I would put the name there, but I am annoyed with the owner after disagreement." That's okay. We know which one you're talking about because there aren't very many. Although now they have a PetSmart.
Yeah.
My mom was saying now they have a PetSmart.
Yeah.
But that's probably not who he's talking about. I know who he's talking about. But I won't say the name either. It used to be much better, but then it got bought by somebody else. This unnamed pet store. Okay, anyways. He says, "I've started getting into ants. I actually have 2... Do I need to say...
The scientific name?
No, but I was just going to say, do I need to say, don't get any idea?
No,
okay. I'm just teasing you. We've had an ant colony before.
Yeah, I caught my own queens and started out, and I did one of the colonies, the soilless colonies with test tubes and aquarium airline tubing.
Yeah.
And corks.
It worked quite well for a
while. Yeah, it was like 3 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. "Okay, I've started getting into ants. I actually have 2 Camponotus modoc queens, black carpenter ants. When I'm able to get tanks going again, I was thinking of trying my hand at brackish tanks, specifically for archer fish, and maybe setting it up so ants go over the water and are treats for fish."
Oh, that sounds interesting.
Yeah.
Archer fish, those are amazing.
They're pretty interesting.
I would like to do those someday. I really would. That would be cool.
He says, "Question. I'm planning on trying all new fish when I get up and going. How many out there would do the same after shutting everything down?"
Hmm. Yeah.
I guess if you've shut everything down, you have to get all new tanks, and or at least mostly all new tanks, and restock everything. You might as well
try some new things. So
good chance, it seems like.
Yeah. Well, Greg's putting that out to everybody out there. Would you get all new species of fish, or would you not?
Mm-hmm.
If you were forced to shut down.
I think I always want to have goldfish. Goldfish are my favorite. So
well, we pretty much had goldfish solid all the way through, almost.
Yeah. So I would still have a goldfish tank.
Yeah.
But if there were other tanks that we were filling, then why not get something
we
haven't tried before?
Experiment with some things, yeah.
Yeah.
There are a lot of fish I still want to try.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes what I think I'd like to do is set up like an experiment tank. And try some species, and then maybe breed that species, then sell them, try another species. Sometimes I feel like that would be good.
Yeah, just for experience in different stuff.
I'd have to make sure they were species that I could get a good home for, because I wouldn't want to just breed them and then dump them, you know.
Right.
That wouldn't be really a good way to treat them. But if it's fish that you know are going to have a ready market with people who are likely to take good care of them, then we could do that. I've thought about doing that. I've still wanted to just try, like Tanganyikan shell dwellers. I haven't done that.
Those are neat, because they're so tiny.
I would like to set up a mud skipper tank, but after setting one of those up, I want to keep that one up all the time.
Yeah, that would be a lot of work.
Yeah.
Could you somehow combine mudskippers and archerfish? Like, just have a more shallow area and then a place for... Because, I mean, you have
to
have
might.
Air above both of them, so...
Yeah, you might well be able to do that. That would be an interesting thing. Because you would need to have a large island for your mudskippers, but I don't think they would bug each other. That's an interesting thing to look into.
You had a big enough tank
or something.
Yeah. That would be interesting.
And then mangroves, of course.
Mangroves.
You put mangroves. By the way, sounds
like mango, but they don't give you mangoes.
I spoke to a guy at a pet store a couple months ago. He said he can get me mangrove propagules for $2.
Is that a good price?
Yes.
I'm guessing that propagule is like a cutting.
Kind of. Basically, it's a pod. They're also called pods. I kind of like the word propagule myself. But
you do go in for multisyllabic words.
But they're basically this structure that grows on the tree. And a really simple way to put it was like it's a long seed pod, except instead of being a seed pod, when it falls into a favorable place, you know, it falls off the tree and it'll float around for a long time. When it gets into a favorable situation, roots will come out of the bottom and leaves come out of the top.
Cool. So it's like...
And it's a baby tree.
A baby tree.
Yeah.
You could name it Groot.
You could.
It could be Baby Groot.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would be really cute. And then it would dance in the tank.
Well, I don't know about
You'd like play some Jackson 5 and...
And it would dance.
And it would dance.
So, yeah, anyway. Sorry, that's total tangent. But it is related to brackish tanks. And mangroves are great in brackish tanks. You can do them in full salt water. You can do them in fresh water. You can do them in brackish water.
And you can eat a mango while you look at your mangrove. Because... That's what it makes me think of every time.
Really?
Yes, mangrove makes me think of mangoes. Mm. It makes me want to eat mangoes every time because there's only a few letters difference.
I suppose so. That's never occurred to me. Although we had both of them in Hawaii.
See?
But yeah, never occurred to me.
That proves it right there.
Okay.
Okay, so we have JR in Eastern Kentucky. He's been keeping us updated on his...
Citric acid baking soda CO2 system.
Yes, thank you. He says, today was the last day on the charge of bottle A, 400 grams of citric acid to 600 milliliters of water, and in bottle B, 300 grams of baking soda to 200 milliliters of water. He says, it lasted 30 days, but I was out of town during the last week that it ran, so I cannot say for sure that it ran for 2 bubbles per second. Bubbles per second!
That's your favorite thing.
Every time! Bubbles per second! That should be that fish in Nemo. Bubbles, bubbles, my bubbles. You know that yellow fish?
Yes.
I don't remember his name. Anyways, I cannot say for sure that it ran for 2 bubbles per second the whole time during that week. So I'm going to restart today using the same ratios and see if I can duplicate this result. Very scientific.
Yeah, well, I'm really glad that he's doing it too, because anybody who wants to try this and latches onto this as valuable research for measurements can maximize their results right away using JR's method. They don't have to go through the trial and error that he is kind enough to share with us.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
That is cool. I like that.
It's good stuff.
So, thank you to Greg in Warrington, Oregon, and to JR in Eastern Kentucky.
Do we have anything else?
Well, let's see. Negative note, we had the Daphnia disappearance. Mm-hmm. On a positive note, my Opiula are reproducing like crazy. They're females releasing babies all over the place. So, I'm getting lots and lots
of
them. And I think this new method, the funny thing is, I think I mentioned last time, I haven't fed 2 of those tanks since February.
And they just have enough to eat because natively in the tank?
There's enough light on the tank that there's enough algae growing and so on, and there's also, you know, bacterial film and so on. Mm-hmm. They're doing fine. They're thriving, and I haven't had to feed them yet. The idea... is that you, once they get to the point where they're reproducing enough that they've used up a lot of food, you have to start feeding them.
Mm-hmm.
But you still don't feed them very often. Just a couple times a month is enough. But they're doing great, breeding a lot. And 2 of my tanks are established tanks, so I do feed those, but still minimally, every couple weeks or so. And it's just fun to see that they're thriving with so little care. It's like the lowest maintenance critter ever. All I have to do is top up the water once in a while and feed them a couple times a month. That's it.
It's pretty cool.
So, yeah, there you go.
Is that everything? Do we have anything else?
I think that's all for now. Hopefully I'll have good news about Daphnia.
Yeah.
I'm still holding out a little bit.
Is there anybody out there that bought Daphne from us that still has some? We could buy them back.
Might be.
Let us know if you have our Strain of Daphne.
All right. Well, I think that's all for now. So,
may the fish
be with you.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Aquarimax Audio Show. For additional episodes, please visit aquarimax.com. To leave comments or questions that could be featured on an upcoming podcast, leave a message at 801-477-0629 or email us at info@aquarimax.com.